And spend Saturday evening right here. I'm your host, Ted Steele. The world of space is our topic 2 minutes from now, and later on we'll meet four young foreign visitors to the United States and find out what they think of us, our country, our customs, and our young people. We'll begin with Hello, Hello, Claudine Longer, who is also Mrs. Andy Williams, sings it. Space, reported by Peter Hackis. Tonight, a look into the future and NASA's not-at-all-secret plans.
After 2 years of being criticized for not having long-range plans, NASA has come up with a positive answer to the question, what's next for the U.S. in space? About the middle of next year, NASA says it will orbit a huge laboratory workshop. It's the first of what's called the Apollo Applications Program. It's to be made out of the upper stage fuel tank of the Saturn booster after its fuel has been all used up. A partition will divide the tank into two big rooms, each 23 feet in diameter, 10 feet high. In one, beds, dining area, kitchen, toilets, recreation area, and a place to exercise. The other will be made into compartments for workshop and laboratory space. As one NASA expert puts it, it'll be like building a ship inside a bottle. All the partitions, workbenches, and so on will be made of cloth or plastic folded up. The astronauts will open them up, attach them to hooks in certain places, and then make them all rigid by inserting plastic rods, something like setting up a tent or a cot. Next year's laboratory will have a three-man crew. Later, possibly by 1970, we'll be sending up a crew of six. The first crews will stay aboard for a month. Later crews, working in their shirt sleeves, by the way, and breathing two gases, oxygen and nitrogen, instead of just pure oxygen, will remain aboard for longer periods, possibly up to a year. The orbiting labs will be serviced by Apollo capsules sent up with supplies and equipment. Apollos will also serve as taxis for fresh crews going up and for others returning from the lab. Among other chores, the astronauts in the lab will be making a detailed map of the moon with a huge one-ton telescope to be set up to join with the lab. They'll also use the telescope to monitor explosions on the sun, disturbances which send out cosmic rays that could be dangerous to space explorers. Inside the workshop, they'll be testing all kinds of equipment, much of it for use outside in space or on the surface of the moon. Among the things they'll be testing, a lunar drill designed to dig down 300 feet into the moon's crust and collect samples. Then there's a small jeep to be tested out to let astronauts travel 10 to 15 miles across the lunar surface. One of the most fascinating devices they'll be testing is a pair of so-called jet shoes, special space shoes for walking on the moon, each equipped with a tiny gas jet. According to a NASA man, these jet shoes will shoot you over the moon as if you're wearing a pair of roller skates. It sounds like astronautical fun aboard that orbiting laboratory. Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington.
The World of Space is a regular feature on Monitor.
You're born, you weep, you smile, you sleep, you cling, you crawl, you stand, you fall, you stand again, and try, and then you walk. You eat, you drink, you feel, you think, you play, you grow, you learn, you know, and then one day you find a way to talk. You're young, you fly, you laugh, you cry. Is it too late to ask? Did I ever love? Did I ever give? Did I ever really live?
That's the latest by Steve Lawrence, powerful new ballad written by Alan Sherman, Did I Ever Really Live? And you heard it on the Monitor Beacon. Ted Steele introducing Monitor Music, Marilyn May, and If You'll Just Come Back to Me. It's a new song, and it's going to be a big hit if it goes the way everything else this young lady's been singing lately has.
I'll hire a brass band, the greatest brass band, if you will just come back to me. I'll rent a grandstand and do a handstand, if you will just come back to me. There'll be no more grief, I'll turn a new leaf, there'll be some changes, wait and see. You'll see this world's greatest transformation. There'll be a red carpet at the station if you come back to me. I'll feel like bells ringing, like a choir singing, if you just come back to me. I'll have the place hopping and the cork popping if you just come back to me. I'll light a bonfire, get the town
Monitor on Stage, star performances recorded live in leading nightclubs, theaters, and concert halls. Tonight, Shelley Berman plays the role of Dr. Rainey, jungle explorer, and Lovelady Powell questions him.
Dr. Rainey, could you tell us how many years did you spend in Africa?
Well, all told, it was 14 years. However, my last book, My Friends the Gorillas, was spent in only 8 years writing. And I lived in Kenya province in the rainforest, studying only the large tree ape, the large tree-climbing gorilla.
Oh, I see.
For 8 years.
Yes. Well, did you have assistance with you?
No, I had no assistance. I went in alone. I know that the gorilla is a little shy of the of man, and I didn't want to aggravate the situation by contributing more of the, man smell, you see. So I went in alone and no assistance. Besides that, nobody would go.
Well, what was it like living alone, Dr. Rainey?
Well, it wasn't so bad after the first 3 years, of course, after I got married. I enjoyed it relatively. I lived a rather normal life. I mean, as normal as one can live with a whole bunch of gorillas, you know.
Well, then you were not alone. You got married.
Yes, married a lovely thing.
Well, then an American girl joined you.
No, an American girl did not join me. I married right then.
Oh.
I married a gorilla.
Tell me, how long did you and your wife remain there before coming back?
5 years. 5 years, and then we left when I finished my book. We left to come to America.
What was your arrival like here?
Well, it was very nice, fun. I came down the gangplank, and they lowered Margaret's crate from a crane onto the dock. And then, of course, we boarded the bus to go to where we were staying.
Oh, the bus. Now, what kind of a bus?
A regular New York City bus.
Oh, I see. Isn't that interesting? Well, Dr. Rainey, how did the people in the bus react?
Oh, they got out. They got out.
And what about the driver?
He got out, too. He got out through the emergency exit, as I recall. The others left through windows, doors, any way they could find.
Yes.
There was one child who escaped through the ventilator hatch, as I recall. And another woman was rather cute. She made a door for herself at the back of the bus. Right through. Went through too quickly to cut herself, thank goodness.
Well, that was quite an experience,
so
then, sitting there.
I just drove the bus myself.
Oh, I see. Where were you staying?
The Waldorf Astoria.
Oh, isn't that
lovely, sweet, lovely place.
Oh, well, Dr. Rainey, did you have any difficulty getting into the hotel?
We were very fortunate. When we came in to register, there was a costume ball going on at the hotel. So they all thought that I was dressed as an African hunter and that Margaret was dressed as a gorilla. And we got first prize. And we certainly did laugh about it when we got into the elevator.
Oh, you laughed quite hard.
Oh,
she did.
A thunderous laugh, my goodness. And a great deal of chest thumping, you know.
Yes.
Leaping up and down in the elevator and thumping. It was quite exciting.
Well, how did the elevator man respond?
He got out. As I recall, between the fourth and fifth floor.
Well, Dr. Rainey, how long did you stay in the hotel?
Till they kicked us out.
Oh, dear.
So we went right from there to our home.
Oh, well, now, where is your home?
Scarsdale.
Oh, I love Scarsdale.
Great gorilla country.
Well, Dr. Rainey, how long do you hope to be staying out there in Scarsdale?
We're leaving right away.
Oh, you are.
Well, we're going out to Hollywood to film my book.
Well, do you know where you'll be living out there?
Beverly Hills.
Oh.
Give her a sense of belonging, what with Cheetah and Lassie. And, of course, she is in the movie.
Oh, she's in the movie.
Yes.
What part is she playing?
A gorilla.
Well, Dr. Rainey, thank you so much for being on my program today.
I would like to say thank you, and I would like to thank you in the language of Margaret's people.
Please.
Margaret was here, she would say, good day.
Well, thank you, Dr.
A Monitor on Stage performance by Shelley Berman. Now here's that 1920 sound by the new vaudeville band, Peekaboo.
Peekaboo, I do love you. You're the one girl for me. When I look into your eyes, I see my destiny. Peekaboo, what can I do? You're so fancy and free. Though I try, I can't disguise the hold you have on me. I would grow much weaker, weather would be bleaker, if I spent a week away from Peekaboo. Peekaboo, I'm telling you, you're the girl of my dreams. Please don't walk away and put an end to all my schemes.
much weaker. Weather would be bleaker if I spent a week away from Chicago. I said that I would grow much weaker, weather would be bleaker, if I spent a week away from Peekaboo. Peekaboo, I'm telling you, you're the girl of my dreams. Please don't walk away and put an end to all my schemes. Peekaboo. Bo-dee-o-dee-o-do. Peek-a-boo. Bo-dee-o-dee-o-do. Peek-a-boo.
Foreign exchange students studying in this country have more opportunity than most visitors to meet people and to compare life in the United States with life in their own countries. Our next guests are four of these students: Christian Groth of Germany, Alexis Soulakis of Greece, Andrew Wilson of England, and Roger Young, also of England. They were interviewed for Monitor by Leda Edmund, Jr.
Christian, most foreign visitors to the United States have certain vivid impressions. Well, what has impressed you most?
The big contrasts in New York City. The big contrast between rich and poor and between very beautiful spots in the city and some spots who are almost ugly. I didn't find something like that in Berlin, for example.
Christian, do you compare customs of America and Germany here?
It's very difficult. Sometimes I think that in Germany, when you meet some people, for example, in the subway, that you are there a little bit more polite. It happens pretty often that people stand up if they are old ladies or young ladies and let them sit down. In America, the students just sit there on his seat and doesn't care.
You noticed that, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I don't like that.
I know, that's... Women are awfully used to that here, I think, and that's unfortunate, because we should say something about it. Roger, what do you think is different between the English girls and the American girls?
Well, I think that a lot of the American girls seem to look younger, well, that's when they're the same age, than British girls do. I think this is something to do with their skirts aren't so tight. One thing.
Well, you mean aren't as tight as yours?
Yes.
The girls. we copy England quite a bit in the last 4 or 5 years. We try and get as close to them as we can in the fashions. I understand you have some very definite opinions about American women.
Well, I think the older women in America look much better than the older women in Britain. If they are made up in Britain, then they tend to make themselves up very badly, whereas in America they do it quite well.
Well, I find that the older women here, I'm a little annoyed with them because they start wearing the miniskirts. You know, it's funny to see a 45-year-old woman walking around with skirts 6 inches above her knees, and I get an impression that the British woman wouldn't do that. She just has a little more dignity.
No, but on the other hand, she'd look about 70.
Oh.
I don't like very much the miniskirts worn by women, well, over 40.
Do you like miniskirts at all?
Yes.
Oh, you do? How about you, Roger?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Oh, yes, I see. Okay. Perhaps one of the strongest impressions you fellows have had during your visit to America is the comparison of dating practices here and in your own countries. Tell me some of the similarities. You like us?
Well, in Greece, we don't actually have dating system as early as you do here. We have a much more collective teenage life.
What about you, Andrew?
I think that in England, relationships between boys and girls are rather deeper than they are here.
What do you mean?
In America, they tend to be slightly more superficial.
Oh, we flirt a lot, is that what you mean?
That sort of thing, yes.
Oh. Well, we get married sooner, it seems to me, and get divorced faster. Another major badge of identification for the younger generation here, anyway, is the clothing and the hair. What are your opinions on both, Andrew?
I think in America they're far more conservative than in England. Miniskirts here are far shorter. Hair is far shorter. And I think on the whole, the people in England are more daring with what they wear.
Alekos, what is the fashion in hair?
Well, in Greece, most people have rather decent hair and decent clothes. We are much more conservative, and much more closer, I think, to the German and Italian mm-hmm. styles. They're self-conscious enough so as when you see a girl with ugly legs and ugly body, you don't see her wearing a miniskirt.
Oh, we're not that smart. Andrew, what do you think is different between American parents and British parents?
I think that American children are far closer to their parents than our English children.
Huh?
Children seem more willing to talk to their parents about topics such as dating and this sort of thing, which you wouldn't consider talking with your parents about in England.
In the past few moments, we've had a very interesting glimpse of just a few of the comparisons between American teenagers and those of other countries. Our guests have been foreign exchange students, Christian Grott of Germany, Alekos Tsolakis of Greece, Andrew Wilson, and Roger Young of England. Well, this is Late Edmund Jr. reporting for Monitor.
Walter Wanderley playing Take Care of My Heart. This is Ted Steele, planning to spend the rest of the evening here on Monitor. Hope you'll plan to do the same. NBC News on the Hour is next after this lyrical reminder.
Keep to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere.
Hostess Mimi Benzel invites Big Town to lunch, weekdays at noon, on the Big Voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.
All the news is in the Sunday News, and it's only 20 cents, local, national, and international. All the news. Pages and pages of entertainment news, behind-the-scenes coverage of movies, television, and Broadway. And in this Sunday's news reads Sexual Freedom or Moral Anarchy, an important article on today's rebel generation. Be sure to see the fashion reports from Rome, Paris, and London, and to enjoy the features and great photographs in the Colorado magazine. For that new car, new home, new job, consult the Sunday News classified section. And don't miss the heart-shaking story of Michael Lebrun's million-to-one chance against death by rabies. Big stories, exciting pictures, the most accurate weekly TV listings available anywhere. All this plus 29 of the best comic and adventure strips in town, including Moon Mullins, On Stage, and Dick Tracy. You get all this, plus much, much more, in the New York Sunday News, on sale now.